welcome. Children are always precious. It's good to be a blessing to them. Amen. And they are powerful. They can stop your service. They're trying to preach, and once one starts wailing, you cannot continue preaching until they stop wailing. That's how powerful children are. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. This morning you have an African preacher. I love my amens. So you better be ready to give my amens. I say again, hallelujah.
Amen.
Beautiful, beautiful. Where are the kids going again? Oh, there's another class that... Oh, there's rain. There's rain. There's rain outside. God bless you, kids, and God bless the teachers. That's a labor of love.
Yes.
Isn't that so?
Yes.
It's a labor of love. The Minister for Education in Kenya changed our school holidays. And he came in with a bang about last year, and he said, from now on, you stay with your children for about 2 months, and there's no holiday tuition. Teachers, don't give it to the children or homework to do at home. Release them to go and be with their parents. And parents were whining because they are not used to that. They are used to the teachers taking care of their children for them during the holidays. Yeah. They surrender them to schools for something they call holiday tuition. But the Minister for Education, the current one, said nothing like holiday tuition. Holiday is holiday. Go home, stay with your parents, play at home. And parents, but I stood on television and said, I support him because it's our responsibility to raise our children. It's not the teachers. It's our responsibility to raise our children. Can I continue? To evangelize our own children. It's not for the teachers to evangelize your children for you. You have be the best evangelist for your own children. They are the only ones who know whether you are born again or not. It's not your pastor. Your pastor sees you on Sunday morning. These children are with you every day. They're the ones who know how much alcohol you drink.
Yeah.
Tell your neighbor, I hope he's not talking about you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Just pray. How do you preach after Dave introduces you like that? I'd like my wife to stand so that you can see the lady she's talking about. Let's appreciate my wife. Oh, she has... That's precious. He's my pastor. Amen. Dave is my pastor, and many times when I tell people he's my pastor, they say, we are praying for you. I think now I understand why. Last night, wasn't that great from Gwiza? I just want to... I want to continue with that, because today I'm talking about how to answer the call. It's beyond. That's what I'm talking about this morning. How to answer the call. It's beyond. And I want to spend time in the story of Joshua, in the book of Joshua chapter 1. Because I feel, Steve, we are in a sort of a transition from what I've seen here. There's a transition happening in this family. And I think we've just walked in at that time for C2C. Because I spent time with David Lima and just with Justin taking over, coming to this church where Doug used to be. Remind me your name? Hello? Jay taking one. Then I saw a bunch of young people being prayed for here, the ones who are getting engaged. And you can just see there's a season of transition taking place in this place. Ron, I don't know why you feel the same. And when you see a few gray hairs and hairless men, and some of us, the only reason we have got black hair is because of technology. Then you realize, friends, we need to know how to answer the call that's beyond these walls. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So the first time when I was talking, I talked about to build a strong home base. And that's why I was working on those 7 questions that Jesus was asking those who were following him. And he asked those 7 questions because he wanted to establish something up to a place whereby he knows they can know he cares for them even when they mess up. When others want to stone them, he's not there to stone them. He's there to care for them, and he can protect them and stand with them even when they have messed up. Because, listen, people mess up, and they need to know there's grace in the house of God. Somebody say amen. Because if there's no grace in the house of God, I can assure you it's not in the Republican Party, it's not in the Democratic Party, it's not anywhere else. Grace can only be found in the house of God. This is the pillar and the foundation of the truth. If there's no truth in the house of God, it's nowhere else. It won't be anywhere else. It's got to be found here. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And this morning we are looking about how do we answer the call that's beyond. Let's read the book of Joshua, chapter 1. We'll read about 11 verses. This is an African accent. I hope you can understand what I'm saying. Otherwise, you follow. Normally, when I'm preaching back home, I lift up my Bible. Tell people to say after me, "This is my Bible." And you can hear 4,000 people shouting, "That's my Bible. And I love it." This morning, my heart is open. My mind is alive. My spirit is alive. And I am ready to receive the word of God. And I declare my life will never, ever be the same again. When they say that, you are now ready to preach. Now, if I tell you to do that, you'll think I'm swearing in for the office of governor. I don't want to do that. So let's read the Bible together. Shall we do that? After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan," answering the call beyond. "Go over this Jordan, cross it over, this land beyond this river that you are meant to possess. So go over this river. You and all these people, don't go alone, you and all these people to the land which I'm giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place," I love this from verse 3, says, "every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I say to Moses." In other words, you mark your own boundaries. I told you the other day, this one size fits all doesn't work with God. You mark your own boundaries. He's not marking it for you. He says, "every place the sole of your foot shall tread, I have given you." So it is you who shall mark your own boundary. So if you walk 10 steps, that's your boundary. If you walk 100 steps, that's your boundary. So if you see someone going 100 steps and you walked only 50, don't blame them. It is you who has marked your own boundary. He's telling Joshua, you mark your own boundary. And I want to challenge you. You've got to learn to mark your own boundary. If you don't mark your own boundary, listen, the devil will take the rest. Because God will never give you land that's unoccupied. Every land God is giving is already occupied, either by some Hittite, some Hivite, some Canaanite, some Jebusite, and in your case, some Demonite. There's no land God is giving us that's not occupied. But you know what he says? He says, "all power and authority in heaven and on earth and even under the earth is given to me." And I believe with all my heart, there's no place in this world where Jesus has no authority, including Mecca. Yeah. If they can only allow us to lift up the name of Jesus in Mecca during the pilgrimage, we'll see thousands born again. Amen. The only thing, they won't allow us. But you know something, if it can allow us to lift up the name of Jesus, who declared, "when I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to myself." If we can lift up his name anywhere in this world, I can assure you, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, shall draw men to himself. Because there's no place where Jesus has no authority. He has authority everywhere. So you mark, push your neighbor. Come on, wake up your neighbor. Some of them are dozing. Wake them up gently. Tell them, "neighbor, you mark." Talk to your neighbor. Look, pick a neighbor that you like. Let me preach like an African preacher. Pick a neighbor that you like. Pick one. Just pick one. Quickly, pick up a neighbor. Tell them, "I think I like you." Don't tell them, "I love you." This love business, keep it for husband and wife. So here, just tell them, I just tell them, "neighbor, talk to them now. Talk to your neighbor. Don't talk, look at you." I know I'm not bad to look at, but to look at you, tell them, "neighbor, mark your own boundary. Mark your own. Mark your own boundary." Hallelujah. You mark your own boundary. That's what is being Joshua told here. "Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. As I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory." This is one of the saddest scriptures I read in Gwiza. Because I can see God giving them demarcation. And he's telling Joshua, "get from here to the Mediterranean Sea. Get from here to the Red Sea. Get from here to the river he mentioned, to the Euphrates River. All that is your territory." In other words, Steve, God provided oil for Israel. The oil that is in Iraq and Syria was meant for Israel. The Arabs were given their oil in Saudi Arabia because of Ishmael. You should read your Bible sometimes. Ishmael, God told Abraham, "I will bless Ishmael also because of you." And he provided for him, and his oil is in Saudi Arabia. The oil that is in Syria and all that, all in Iraq and Kuwait, was meant for the nation of Israel. Read that territory. The reason they are living on that strip of land you call Israel, because Joshua did not capture everything God told him to capture. Yet God tells him, all that is your territory. I'm not quoting the Quran. I hope you are aware I'm quoting the Bible here. The way you're looking at me, I'm getting worried. Am I safe? Are you seeing it in scripture? See, many times God gives a provision for us, but we miss it because we don't know how to answer the call beyond. And when we start answering the call beyond, we don't go all the way. And therefore, we end up short, not because God, he has shortchanged us, but it's because we ourselves have not marked our own boundaries. We have refused to go all the way God told us to go. That's why I'm saying this one of the saddest, because when I read this scripture, I say, God, you made provision for your people. But somewhere along the line, they never captured. I pray in the name of Jesus. None of you listening to my voice in this house. Yes, I had an amen in this corner. I say, none of you who's listened to my voice in this house shall miss what God has purposed for you. May you enter every territory God has earmarked for you. May you step on every piece of land God has meant for you. And may you capture every city God has meant for you. Somebody say amen. Amen. We are not coming short this time. I say we are going beyond our boundaries. And we are marking our own territories. To the glory of God and in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Amen. Because as long as you're in that area, the grace of God and the power of God shall work on your behalf. Don't go beyond that area. But as long as you're in that area, listen to what he says. As long as you're operating in those boundaries, he says, no man, I'm in verse 5, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. No man, in other words, they will try. They will come up against you, like who is that all? The Sambalas, the Tobiah, even the Arabs came up against Jeremiah and Nehemiah, but they did not survive. So it's not that they will not try to come against you. They'll try to come up against you. But no man shall be able to stand again. As long as you're operating within the boundaries God has given you, I can assure you, no devil in hell. I say no demon from darkness. No Jebusite, no Canaanite, no Hittite, no Hivite, no demonite shall be able to stand against you. I'm here to encourage you. We can capture the territories beyond. In Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Amen. No man, they'll try, but no man shall be able to stand against you. Someone came and bought property next to us. He was a Muslim guy. And for about 30 years, he's refused to that property. Last year when we were coming to the conference in England, I just negotiated with him and he gave me a price that is 3 times what that property is worth, because he wanted us to put us out. But I told him, what? I'll buy it. As soon as I landed in England for our conference last year, I received a call. The bank where our money was has gone into receivership. What do you call that in this country? Same liquidation, whatever. And all our money was in there. So I almost flew back from the conference because I remember sharing with Dave and Guiz. I said, this is the news I'm getting from back home. I feel like that king who had to go back and sort out things. And you know, I just got the peace of God. I said, no, you stay here. My guys looked for money. They paid him. Within 6 months, we had paid him off, and he left because we believed that property was ours all these years. And God gave us the money. And we are still in a building program, but we still raised over $400,000 to pay him in 6 months without overseas help. We raised the money locally because there's a lot of money in Africa, believe you me. That's why Americans are coming there and the Chinese are coming. Why do you think they are coming there? Because most of the oil that's remaining in the world is in Africa. Guiza can give you those statistics. He's good in giving. Guiza can. You forgot to give those statistics yesterday. But whenever we meet, he normally tells us that. Can I continue with this? Tell your neighbor, no man. Look for a neighbor, tell him, no man. Look for another neighbor, not that one who doesn't believe. Look for another neighbor who looks like a believer. Tell him, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. I dare you. I say, I dare you, start moving, start going, cross this Jordan and see, no man shall stand before you. See, many of us have not seen the supernatural because we are static. But I dare you, start moving. I dare you, cross this Jordan. I dare you, go over this river. And you will see, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Stop staying on this side of the river and complaining, there are giants across the river. Oh, I cannot. No, shut up. Cross that river. I dare you to cross that river and see what God shall do on the other side of the river. Somebody say amen. Amen. And today I come by the grace of God and the anointing upon my life to call each one of you to rise up to a place where God has called you. Joshua this time was nothing. No, he's just a young man who was there staying at the gate when Moses was praying, staying at the temple when Moses was praying, or going to fight the Amalekites when Moses sent him. But this time the role has changed and he's the one who's taking over. Somebody say amen. Amen. When that time comes, you must arise. You must step up on the plate. You must believe you are going higher to the glory of God. Somebody say amen. Amen. And this morning, by the grace of God, I call each one of you to rise up, because God gives you a promise. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. They may try, but they shall not do it. They may arise, but they shall not be able to overcome. Somebody say amen. Come on, touch your neighbor. Tell him, my life. Look for a neighbor who is a believer. Tell him, my life will never, ever be the same again. Then he says, look at this classical statement. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. See, Joshua was getting into some very, very big shoes here. Moses' shoes were big, big shoes. Those were not small shoes. Dave, see, it's not a human being who announced Moses is dead. It's God who came to announce. He takes Moses for a walk and he comes back without him. It's a dangerous walk to take. He took Moses, let's take a walk. And he walked with him. Then he comes back without him. Joshua is waiting. And he comes and tells them, no, Joshua, Moses is dead. He says, what? Moses is dead. He's my servant. He's dead. And where he's buried, you don't know. That was another business. Angels were doing the funeral service. Now you can read that in Jude. These angels doing the funeral service. So Joshua must be wondering, you are telling me to arise, cross this river, lead these people. What are you talking about? And he's telling me, let me assure you. God, do you know whom you're asking me to replace? You're asking me to replace the lawgiver. You're asking me to replace the person who parted the Red Sea. You're asking me to replace the person who gave us manna from heaven. You're asking me to replace the man who gave us water from a rock. Do you know whom you're asking me to replace? And God is looking at you and saying, what? You're asking me to replace the man who called the plagues on the Egyptians until they could not bear. Lord, do you know who you're asking me to replace? And God said, do you know what? You think Moses brought the plagues? It was not Moses. I did. You think Moses parted the Red Sea? Moses did not part the Red Sea. I did. You think Moses gave you manna? Moses never gave you manna. I gave you manna. I gave you water from the rock. I gave you the cloud by day. I gave you the pillar by night. I'm the one who did all that. And as I was with Moses, I shall be with you. In other words, if Moses could do it, you shall do it. Because the same God was with Moses, he's the same God with you. And he says, I am the Lord and I change not. Jesus Christ is the same. Yes, come on, help me here. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and for what he did yesterday, he's able to do today, and he shall do tomorrow. Somebody say amen. Amen. I like what David Lima says. If you, the power of a testimony is simply this. If God could do it there, he can do it here. If God could do it with David, he can do it with me. If he could do it with Paul, he can do it with me. If he could do it with Moses, he can do it with me. Because he's the same God and he doesn't change. So stop telling me, I wish I lived in the days of Moses. The days of Moses are over. Moses is dead. Paul is dead. John is dead. Elijah is dead. You are alive. And God is still alive. That's why I like Elisha. Soon as Elijah was taken off, he just came with the man. He said, where is the God, Lord God of Elijah?
Elijah is gone, but his God is still alive. You river, come on, Pat. I want to go back where I came from. I like that. I pray in the name of Jesus, men and women shall rise from this service with that similar attitude. We shall tell the river, I'm coming across. If Elijah could cross without a bridge, I'm crossing without a bridge. Am I helping you here? Am I helping you here? As I was with Moses, I shall be with you. I shall never leave you nor forsake you. What does he say? Be strong. I like that. Because why? There are battles ahead of you, but there are blessings. Or there are blessings ahead of you, but they are coming with battles. They are not coming cheap. Be strong and of good courage. For to these people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give to them. That's your responsibility. Take these people across. Only, but he repeats again, be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law, I like that. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that's written in. Why? For then you will make your way prosperous. You have prosperity, it's in the Bible. And then you will have good success. Success is in the word of God. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid. Not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you... What? How much more assurance do you need? He has said it 3 times. Be strong. Be courageous. I am with you. Look, ask your neighbor for me. How much more assurance do you need? Look for a neighbor. Come on, ask them. Don't look at me. Ask your neighbor. How much more assurance do you need? Salt and Light family, how much more assurance do we need? See to see, how much more assurance do you need? If God repeats something 3-4 times, how much more assurance? Do you want him to physically calm down himself? He's not coming. He's given you his word. Take it and start moving in Jesus' name. We are going beyond and we are taking the nations beyond. Somebody say amen. Let's finish this. Then Joshua, he says, then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare. I like that word. Not that word. Say with me, prepare. One more time, say prepare. Prepare provisions for yourself, for within 3 days you will cross. I like that. Within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you. I believe Steve Thomas, by the grace of God, we have come into this, brought this conference in a time of transition. And I believe that the men and women that I've seen in this place, Doug, I believe by the grace of God, God is leading you somewhere. It's been a change. There's been a shift in the spiritual realm. And you are going somewhere in the name of Jesus Christ. It shall no longer be business as usual. It shall be business unusual. And next time I come back to this camp, I'm looking for some men and women of faith. Next time I come back to a C2C camp, well, I shall see things different. I shall hear a different call. I shall listen to a different talk. You shall have gone somewhere in Jesus' name. We shall receive greater testimonies. Can somebody say amen? I'm looking forward to that. This country is waiting for you. Canada is waiting for you. Mexico is waiting for you. South America is waiting for you. You are now in the Philippines. Go beyond in the name of the Lord. Answer the call beyond to the glory of God. Somebody say amen. Amen. Joshua lived. Joshua is an interesting guy. He lived in a time of transition because, number one, Joshua was, he's just like some of us. He was born in slavery. By the time Joshua was born, they were in slavery. That's his history. It's not a good history. And then he grows up among people who are doubters. He's one of the 12 spies that Moses sent. And 10 of them brought back a negative report. Only him and Caleb stood up and said, you know what? We can take this land. But because it's a democracy, the 10 outvoted the 2. And they never took off. Instead, the nation wept over the night. And God was so angry, he told Moses, just get out of my house. I will need to clear this slate and begin afresh with you. And Moses said, no, don't you do that. I'm ready to persevere, but don't do that. And God said, okay, they'll survive. They live now, but they're not getting in. So for 40 years, they had to go around that mountain till they all died. So you've got to understand, Joshua is not coming from a better place than you. He's coming from slavery stock. Can I continue? Growing up with people who are doubters. When they were sent in, they came back and told Moses, you know what? The land we went to visit swallows its inhabitants. That was a lie. There was nobody that's been swallowed by that land. Then the cities are fortified. That was true. Then they said, you know what? We looked before them. We looked, when we saw the inhabitants, in our eyes, we were like grasshoppers. You see, when you are raised with people with a grasshopper mentality, it's hard. And some of us need to rise up above that mentality. See, the greatest battle you are facing is not the battle outside. It's the battle within. Many of us, actually, what keeps us from going is not the enemies out there. It's the way we see ourselves. We see ourselves as losers, small, we cannot make it, we cannot go beyond. When I was planted out in Umoja, I was only 30 years old. I was only 30 years old when they told me go to Umoja. Umoja is the backside of Nairobi. The third world. Kenya is supposed to be a third world country. But in Nairobi, there's a third world, and that's why I was sent. Even when Giza comes there, he has a problem with the roads. Even Dave, he has a problem with the roads of getting there. So I'm not in the upmarket part of Nairobi. I'm in the third world of Nairobi. So you're in a third world country. I'm in a third world of the third world city. So you feel like Gideon. My family is the least in Manasseh. But how many of you know God can, to God, your history is not the issue. He comes and tells Gideon, what do you think you're Gideon? Says, I'm small. Says, no, you are a mighty warrior. And I had that prayer this morning. There are warriors here. I say they are warriors and fighters here. I say they are winners and champions here. I say they are over. I'm prophesying over you and they're just staring at me. I'm saying they are. Amen. I'm prophesying over you. I say they are winners in this house. I say they are champions in this house. They are kingdom takers in this house. They are land takers in this house. They are missionaries in this house. Don't allow the devil tell you you are nothing but a coward who's just threshing wheat in a wine press. No, there's a warrior in you. We sang about the lion and the lamb. Did we sing that? Did we sing about the lion and the lamb? Can I preach like an African preacher? Are you okay with that? It may be a long time before you get another one, so you better listen to me. I like that text, Steve, that we read in Revelation chapter 5, because John is wailing. He said, nobody has been worthy to open the scrolls. And the elders tell him, no, stop crying. He says, why should I stop crying? He says, because the lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed. Somebody say amen. Amen. And then he opens his eyes to look for the lion. He doesn't see the lion. He sees a lamb. He says, when I lifted up my eyes, he never saw a lion. He saw a lamb as though it was slain. Because that's who Jesus is. On Friday, he was a lamb. On Sunday morning, he was a lion. Can I talk to somebody here? On Friday, he was the lamb whose blood was being taken in. But when he rose up on Sunday morning, he was no longer the lamb. He was now the lion of the tribe of Judah. On Friday, they carried him. On Friday, he wept. On the Friday, he was crying. On Friday, he could not even walk. On Friday, he could not even carry his cross. On Sunday morning, nobody came to roll the stone away. He came out even before the stone had been rolled away. Because what rose up that Sunday morning was not a lamb. He was the lion of the tribe of Judah. And as you go, I declare, they may think you are a lamb, but I come to declare there's a lion in you. The seed you carry, the seed of a lion. It's not the seed of a hyena. It's not the seed of a dingo. Or it's not the seed of a wild dog. It's the seed of the lion of the tribe of Judah. That's why I declare there's a winner in you. I say there's a champion in you. And you are taking that territory in Jesus' name. So change the way you, if you are going to answer the call beyond, change the way you see yourself. Could have been born in slavery stock. You have been raised by people who are doubters. And you are leading a bunch of men who have not yet been circumcised. I had to say that somewhere along this. Because chapter 5, he had to circumcise all of them. These were Hebrews who had not been circumcised. So he had to circumcise all of them before he could take even the first city. Now, I'm not doing anything to you. Just don't look at me. I'm scared. I'm just telling you the odds that were against him. Are you understanding me, church? The odds that were against him was maybe similar to the odds that are against you. But if he could make it, I've come to declare in the name of the Lord, me and you can make it. We can take that territory. We can answer the call beyond. Somebody say amen. Amen. You are lived among the generation of doubters, but he's still, the Bible says, in my notes I've written, he accomplished the impossible despite all the opposition. Why? Because as far as God is concerned, you have a great future ahead of you. Believe you me. As far as God is concerned, you have a great future against you. There are blessings, yet there are battles. But he says, no man shall be able to stand. I'm speaking here as an optimist in the things of God. There's a great future ahead of you. Despite your history, despite where you are coming from, despite the pain that you carry, there's a future ahead of you. And you are going for it in Jesus' name. So release it in the name of the Lord. Amen. Three things I want us just to see here very quickly, and I get out of your way in the name of the Lord. Somebody say amen. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. Tell your neighbor from your neighbor. To look at your neighbor and tell him, neighbor, your future will be a mixture of blessings and battles, but you are the winner. I like it. Did you prophesy to your neighbor? But you are the winner. Why? No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. You are the winner in these battles. Three things I want to throw at you. Are you ready for this? If we are going to take the future, we must prepare ourselves. Arise, he's told. Prepare yourself. And then in verse 11, Joshua tells the people, the captive people, tell the people to prepare. You are not going to take the future unless you. That's a strategy we was talking about last night. We must sit and start strategizing. How do we take extra land, extra cities, plant new churches, go to new places? Please, don't just rush in. A man who does not plan is planning to fail. You don't just rush into war. No. The book of Proverbs warns us against that again and again. And it says a man who rushes headlong into war, that man is actually going to lose. Proverbs chapter 16 verse 1, it says, hey, it won't, no, Proverbs 20 verse 18. It says, if you're going to wage warfare, wage from a plan, wage from counsel. Don't just go headlong into battle. You're going to lose. So sit down, think about it, pray about it, strategize, make a plan, prepare yourselves. This is very, very crucial, very, very important. You must arise above your past failures. Because as I've said before, the greatest battle is not the enemy outside, but our attitude to the challenge we are facing. So begin by cutting yourself from some things from your past. That's why he's told Moses is dead. You must realize there are things whose season is over. Let them go. Release them in the name of the Lord. You cannot keep on flogging a dead horse. It's not going nowhere. You, please, listen to what I'm going to say now. We are not going to change the message. We are not going to change the word that and our purpose and our aim. But we must be ready to do some things different from the way they were done in the past. You don't have to change the message or the purpose, but the methods may need to change. If Moses sent out 12 spies and 10 brought back a bad report, 2 brought back a good report, Joshua decides, I'm sending away 2. I'm sending only 2. Because me, I want a good report back. Eliminate the people bring a bad report. Send them. He did not say, no, Moses sent out 12, so I'm sending 12. No, you don't have to send 12. You send 2. Do things differently. In the days of Moses, it was one man with a stick. And the sea parted. This time he says, no, there's no man with a stick. I don't have a stick. Moses went with his stick. It is the priests taking the Ark of the Covenant. Walking to, you see, where we are going, we must be ready to do things differently. But some of us have got nostalgia about the past. We cannot let it go. When God is saying, hey, Joshua, Moses was great, but he's dead. He dead. As they say in some parts of this country, he dead. Moses, he dead. And if Moses, he dead, you've got to start doing things differently, Dad. Don't pick some of those old methods. Let them go. Pray for God to give you some new methods of reaching this generation. I made an experiment, Guiza, asking in my church how many people are over 60. We were only about 15. 15. The majority of people in my congregation are between 20 and 40. I cannot preach to them the way I used to preach to my mother. Because people have a habit of voting with their feet. They'll just go to another church and leave me there preaching to my mother who's dead. Cut yourself from something. You cannot continue staying in one place. I was hurt. That's what I was preaching the other day. I said, you cannot be paralyzed because someone wounded you, someone hurt you. And you know, the church sometimes, we have a habit of carrying issues. Whether the coffee was decaf or not decaf. When I went, I found the decaf coffee was finished and you are offended. You want to leave the church for that. You get wounded on some of the small things. People have got to handle you like an egg all the time. Look, come on. You need to come a place like Obi was told, you are a grown up man. Grow up. Come on. Yeah. And understand, as long as we are gathered like this, there are people who will do things different from you. They don't look like you. Their complexion will be different. The accent may be different, but they are your brothers and your sisters in the Lord. And you have to live with them and walk with them. We have got to bring mats. We'll preach to us with the Swedish English, and we have to receive him. And Masinde comes with African English and Guiza, and you have to receive us. Hello? Because some of you don't speak English. It's Steve who spoke English. The rest of you speak Americanese. But we still listen. But you, I'll tell you what you missed. Stanley Meta. I missed his message. Next time, make sure Stanley Meta preaches. He'll bless you. He blesses me all the time. We are all part of this body. Are you understanding me, friends? Be ready to do things differently. So you cannot keep on saying, I was hurt, I was wounded. Yes, you are hurt, but the blood of Jesus, the wind of the Holy Spirit and the oil of the Holy Spirit come upon you. Somebody say amen. Amen. Don't change the message, but the message. If you don't plan your future, can I shock you? Someone else is planning for you. Especially you guys in the West, these droves of refugees who are coming, they are planning your future. I said this in England, I said this in Denmark some years ago. They drove me almost out of town. Now they can see what I was telling them. Because we live with these guys in Africa, we understand their psyche. They are about world evangelization. What they could not do by fighting battles, they are now doing using your own constitutions. They have studied your constitutions. They know your weak points. They know you want to be politically correct. So they are planning your future for you. They'll come in as refugees because they know you'll open your doors. When the numbers will be enough, that's when they'll start demanding mosques and temples. If I tell you this, some of you look at me. No, you guys, you are anti-Muslim, you have Islamophobia. Look, Christianity is an evangelistic religion. Islam is evangelistic. Please believe you me. World evangelization is not only ours. Even them, they want to take territory. And they're going to take it in numbers because you will marry one wife. and get 2 children. Can I continue? Can I just be tough on you and abort the rest? Because abortion is big business here. Muslims are not aborting. And they are not marrying one wife. They are allowed to marry 4 wives. I know a Muslim man, Steve, who's only 50. He has 38 children. Do you know where they are? Some in Finland. He has a wife in Finland, a wife in Sweden, a wife in the UK, and a wife in Kenya. With 38 children. You have got only one. And you have got 2. The rest, you are aborting. In a few years, there'll be more than you in your own country. Ask the Swedish, ask the Danish. Am I correct? Now, the major cities in the UK, the mayors are all Muslims. You're talking about Luton, Sheffield, Birmingham, London. If I remember in Spring Harvest, I talked about that. And they did not invite me again. Now they are seeing it. If you don't plan for the future, someone is planning for you. Pull out the Abuja Declaration and read it. Because one of my friends is one of the writers of that Abuja Declaration. He's born again now, Prophet Israel Buba. They've been looking to kill him, but God has protected him. If he tells you what they have planned, you'll shiver to your boots. I was asking my friend Matt, he says, are you aware the future of Europe is in the hands of very interesting people? And I told him, let me give you an example. The Prime Minister of England has no children. The President of France has no children. The Prime Minister of Holland has no children. The Prime Minister of Sweden has no children. Can I continue? The future of Europe is being decided by people who have no stake in it. They have no stake in it. They have no children. And they're the ones who are deciding to get out of Brexit. But they have no stake in the future because they have no children. These are things you need to think about. Because when you don't plan for your future, someone is planning it for you. So as a church, we must plan. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Don't go just charging into battle without a plan. A wise man thinks before ahead. And we may make our plans, but God has the last word. That's what Proverbs 16 verse 1 says. We may make our plans, but God has the last word. Because that's my next point. Stay in the word. We've got to be men and women of the word. Mama Jogi, my Bible is in that bag. My holy Bible. This is iPad Bible. Joshua is told, Joshua, you may be leading 3 million people, but if you are going to succeed, you've got to read your Bible. There's no shortcut. Yesterday, Nguiza worked on you on prayer. This day, today, I'll work on you on the Bible. Get yourself into the Word. Be a reader. He's told, hey, Joshua, you have got a responsibility. But even if you're as busy as leading 3 million people, don't forget to read this word. Don't forget to meditate on this word. Don't forget to do this word. Because those are 3 things God is telling him. Read it, meditate on it, and do it. Use your mouth. Use your mind. Use your feet and hands to do the word of God. So by your mouth and your eyes, you read the word of God. With your mind, meditate on the word of God. With your hands and feet, learn to do the word of God. Someone said, this word works if you work it. Can I say that again? This word works if you do what? Work it. If you find me preaching in an open air meeting, you'll find I normally tell people, if you want to see Bible results in your life, then you do what the Bible says. But you cannot do what the Bible says unless you are reading the Bible, meditating on the Bible, and doing what the Bible says. February this year, I go for a routine medical check that I do every year. I changed my doctors because I decided to go to a different doctor. So that, because one doctor can get used to you and he sees you, oh, Steve, you're okay. But this one, I saw him last about 3 years ago. So I go to him and says, oh, JB, you're welcome. Let's do this test. Let's do this. And he sent me for an ultrasound on my bladder. When they're doing the ultrasound, they discover there's something growing between my stomach and my liver. I'm lying on this table. This sonographer is looking at this screen, and I'm looking at their face because I cannot see the screen. I can see only their face, and I see the face changing. And I realize they've seen something because I'm a grown-up. One of my daughters is a doctor. So I understand medicine to some degree. And I'm looking at them and saying, they must have seen something. Immediately what came in my hand was in my mind was the word of God. Because I've read it. Yeah. 2 Corinthians 4:18. Don't fix your eyes on what has been seen. Because it's temporary. Suppose I never knew the word. I'd have been worried stiff. But the word came and told me, don't fix your eyes on what has been seen. Because what is seen is what? Temporary. What does temporary mean? It means it can change. And in my case, it must change. Do you understand me now? Soon as I walked out of there and I saw to my doctor, he told me this is what they have seen. Go for a scan. I went for a scan and they saw it much more clearer. And now he told me we need to remove, find out whether it's benign or malignant. I went through all those tests. They told me, no, it's not malignant, it's benign, but we need to remove it because it's growing anyway. So I had to go to surgery. I came out looking like an octopus, spooling tubes all over. But a word has been spoken in my spirit by God. Yeah. In Isaiah chapter 3, verse 10, you shall say to the righteous, it is well with them. Yeah. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Yeah. He gave me the 30th Psalm and told me, when you come out of this situation, this is what you shall preach on. So as soon as I came out and I was able to speak again, because this is like my fifth message I'm preaching since my surgery in mid-May. I preached from the 30th Psalm, and that's the day the president came to our church. I was preaching from the 30th Psalm, giving my testimony of how I went through this situation. If you don't have the word of God embedded in you, my blood pressure would have risen. I have no blood pressure, I have no sugar, diabetes, there's nothing. I was discharged on Panadols. No, Panadols are just paracetamols. Because there was nothing else. Ibuprofen, whatever. Even ibuprofen is even stronger than paracetamols. Because there was nothing in me. God preserved my life through this. But I needed to know the word of God. Are you understanding me, friends? And as soon as I came out during my recovery, I sat down to read this Bible. I read the book of Mark in a single day, in one sitting. I sat down and began Mark chapter 1, verse 1. I finished Mark 16, verse 20. In one sitting. I've been reading, devouring these scriptures. I've read the entire New Testament. I read all the minor prophets, all the major prophets. Now I'm on the books of Moses. I read Psalms in 2 days. Devour this word. Read this word. Amen. Until your blood is bibbling. I say, read this word until your blood is what? Bibbling, not bubbling. Because, you know, we from Africa. We come from countries that love football. And whenever there's World Cup, Coca-Cola comes. This is a bottle of Coke. You remember that story? Remember the bottle of Coke yesterday? Yeah. Eh? When they advise Coca-Cola, then they say, eat football, drink. Eh? And then they sleep football, but drink Coca-Cola. They always put in an advert. But for us, we eat the word of God. Yeah. Meditate on the word of God. Yeah. Sleep with the word of God. Until your blood is bibbling. Yeah. Somebody say amen. Amen. Do you have your Bible with you? Yeah. Show it to your neighbor. Tell your neighbor. You are victory. You are blessing. You are healing. Your future is in this word. Your success is in this word. Your prosperity is in this word. Nowhere else. So Joshua was told, stay in this word. Stay in this. The man who taught me how to preach, Dr. Joe Kyle, the only thing he ever gave me was a Bible. I still have that Bible. I was a single man. He told me, JB, I can only give you this Bible. From this Bible, you'll get a wife. This Bible will give you money. It'll give you a rent. It'll give you children. From this Bible, you'll buy a house. From this Bible. That's all he gave me. And he's never given me money. He only gave me the word of God. And I'm talking about 42 years ago. And from this Bible, I got my wife. From this Bible, I got my children. From this Bible, why are you looking at me so strangely? What he told me from this Bible, I eat and drink from this Bible. Me, I'm the kind of people who, I'll just tell you, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. God never allowed me to do anything else. I was going to flying school. I had been enrolled to go to flying school in Soroti, Uganda. When God called me, told me, stop going to flying school, come and preach the gospel. If I don't preach the gospel, I'm not a professional teacher. I'm not an engineer. I'm not nothing. I'm just a preacher. I'm a preacher's preacher. Full stop. That's me. So from this Bible, I travel. Dave, you are in Gwizawa in Umoja the other day when my sons offered me a house. This year, last month they called me. They gave me the house. Do you remember where you stayed, calling? They've turned it to apartments. They bought one of those for me and Pasha. When we are here, they are now furnishing it. When you go back, when you come, you'll sleep there. Your room is there. From this Bible. From this, I can assure you, you'll plant churches. I say you'll plant churches. You'll take territories. You'll win battles from the word of God. Take it and run with it. I need to finish. Can we say amen? Can we say amen? It is from this word of God. Stay in the word. Read the word. Let it be in your mouth. Let it be in your mind. Let it be in your actions. Your future success and prosperity depends on this word. Listen to me, friends. Your present position is not permanent and does not define who you are. Your present position is not permanent and does not define who you are. Therefore, finally, step out by faith. Be strong and courageous. He repeats that 3 times. Be strong and courageous. Step out by faith. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. Whatever you are doing for God must be by faith. God will never show you the entire plan. No. He always shows you peaks of it. But what is in the valley, he never shows you. That's for you to discover. Because the Bible says it's for a king to hide a matter, but it's for wise men to seek it out. So you've got to step out by faith. God will never build a bridge. He'll just tell you, cross over this river. It's until you put your feet in that the water shall part. Unless you walk in, the water is not parting. Until I told this Muslim guy, I'll buy the land. God never provided the money. When I told him I'm buying it, God provided $400,000 in 6 months. And I paid him off. Step into that river. Don't be afraid. I told you, when as I started to preach, there's no territory God is giving you that's not occupied. God never gives unoccupied territories. He never does. Whatever he's giving you, there's a Hivite. There's a Hittite. There's a Jebusite. David called Jerusalem the city of David even before he took it. But the Jebusites were still occupying it. He called it the city of David. And he went after it. And God gave it to him because he called the things which are not as though they are. And that's one area our brothers in the West need to come to in Jesus' name. To start moving in faith and calling the things which are not as though they are. Because I know you're very scientific, you are thinkers and all that. And therefore that has, it's so much in your psyche. But sometimes when the things of God come, you need to move out by faith. There are things I do, if I start telling what I do here, somebody will be looking at me like, what? But I do them because the Lord has spoken, I've seen them in the word, I've got the peace of God, I've bounced it with Dave Richard. Sometimes before I bounce it to him, I start doing. Then he hears, he says, why did you tell me? I say, sometimes if I told you, you'd have told me not to do it. Like Jesus say, he told me not to sing, but I'll sing anyway. And he went ahead and sang. Somebody say amen. Never ever forget, the battle is not yours. It is the Lord's. As I was with Moses, I shall be with you. The first step is always the hardest. As soon as the priest stepped into the water, the river stopped flowing. The river will not stop flowing until you step into the water. Remember the 4 lepers at the gate of Samaria in 2 Kings chapter 7. These guys sat here and they said, you know what? The reports we are getting from the cities that they are dying. The reports on the battleground, we hear people are dying. If we sit here, we shall die. If you go in the city, we shall die. If you go to the enemy, we may die. But at least, that's the better direction to go. But when they took the first step, these are feet of lepers. Some of them did not have toes, so they were walking toeless. But the Bible says, as they went, the four of them, God multiplied the sound of their footsteps so that the enemy had chariots and horses coming. You never know what God will do with your first step. That's why one more time, I dare you. Put your feet in this water. Start walking towards the enemy's camp. See what God shall do on your behalf. Pick your army of 300 and start moving towards the enemy. Hear what the enemy will say as you come. The first step is always the hardest. But I dare you to take it and start going in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Amen. Get these points there. They're in your notes. Take your territory. Don't fear the masses. You can subdue the Egyptians who look like they're intimidating you today. The things that look like they're intimidating, I can assure you, these Egyptians you see today, you shall see them no more. That's the promise God gave them. That enemy that looks intimidating, I can assure you, take the first step. Enemies prevent you from possessing your future. Fear keeps you from getting started. Discouragement keeps you from continuing and finishing the task. Don't allow any of them to stop you. Enemies will keep you from taking your territory. Fear will keep you from taking the first step. Discouragement will keep you from going and finishing the task. Today, in the name of Jesus, I say today, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke the spirit of fear. I rebuke the spirit of discouragement. I rebuke the spirit of intimidation. We are taking our territory. We refuse to give up. We shall finish the task. Somebody say amen. Amen. I say somebody say amen. Amen. Obey God's word and leave the rest to him. As I was with Moses, I'll be with you. Do the natural and God will do the supernatural. I dare you. Remove a stone and let Jesus call Lazarus out. The task of calling Lazarus is not yours. All he wants, you remove the stone. He'll call Lazarus out. All he's asking you is you lay hands. The work of healing is his. All he's asking is to lay hands. Whether they get healed or not, that's not none of your business. You do the natural. Lay hands. Let him do the healing. And I told you the other day, there are people, I laid hands on them, they got healed. Others, I laid hands and they died. Why? I don't know. But I know he's a healer. I still follow the command. Lay hands on the sick and they shall be. So I'll be. You come, I'll still lay hands on you. Let me finish by telling you this. Focus on the possibilities and not your problems. Focus on the possibilities. If we are going to go beyond, let us focus on. Don't focus on you are small, being weak, moneylessness. Don't focus on that. Focus on the possibilities. These are important questions I want you to ponder. As I sit down, what is your Jordan? Because you've got to name it before you overcome it. What is it that you must cross in the next 3 days, the next 3 weeks, the next 3 months, before the end of this year that will change the future of this church, change your future as a family? What is that Jordan that's keeping you from going where God wants you to go? Name it before you overcome it. Where do you need to step out by faith? There's a place you need to step. Where is it? Please point it out. What is keeping you in the desert? Ask yourself, what is it that's keeping me going around this mountain again and again and again? What is it? Deal with it. Don't allow something to keep you in the same place again and again. As we close this conference and this service, ask yourself this. What is that one thing that I know? If I do it, my future will never, ever be the same again. Because in your heart of hearts, you know there's this one thing. If I do this, my future will change. The future of this ministry will change. The future of the church will change. The future of my... What is that one thing? If I do it, my future changes. identify that one thing and go for it. Whenever I go for a conference, I normally tell God, I want to go home with one thing that I can put in our services and change them. Last year, I attended a conference called Grow Conference in Birmingham, Alabama. It's about multi-site. But I saw how they do church. I loved some of the stuff they do. And I told my team, because I was with quite a number of them, what's the one thing? Let's not take everything. The one thing we can do that will change our services. And we changed. Said, let's start becoming generous. We learned the spirit of generosity. They don't sell anything in that church. You want a DVD? Take it. You want a CD? Take it. You know, in America, everything is for sale. But in that church, they sell nothing. You want water? Take it. So I said, let's start giving water in the third service. We have a third service that comes when the weather is hot. So we start giving them free water. The numbers have just swollen up. Because someone realized, you know what? They care for us. We're in this service, it's hot. You're given a bottle of half a liter of Dasani. It just changed. What is the one thing you can come out of this conference? That you go home and say, you know what? There's one thing I've seen. Maybe it's in the worship. Maybe it's the way the service is governed. Maybe it's something that has been said on this pulpit. What's that one thing? You know, if I do this, faith ministry shall change. Deliverance Church Umoja shall change. Please identify it. By the grace of God, once you identify it, run into your future. It begins now, and it begins with a commitment from you. God bless you.